KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
New Mexico Republican Party Chairman Steve Pierce joining us by phone. Hi, Congressman Pierce. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing really well. How are you doing, Jim?
We are holding up, my friend, but I bet you are just running on pure adrenaline at this point in the campaign.
This is the point in the campaign where you don't think about how tired you are. You just keep moving no matter what.
Hey, it sounds like playing defense in the last 3 minutes of a game. You name the sport. This is this takes some extra effort, doesn't it?
It really does. So the last couple of weeks, I've been really sending the message to the candidates, don't give up. Now is not the time to let your fatigue take over. Find within you whatever you need to keep moving hard these last 2 weeks.
Absolutely. Steve, I want to ask you about your analysis of the second presidential debate and have you review that for so many different commentators. About 90% of the liberal media had already decided who won both debates before they happened. What was your analysis?
Well, when Joe Biden says that he's going to have war on oil and gas, what he said, that should decide for sure that New Mexico is going to vote for Trump. I felt like it would before then, but that was a huge error. He and Kamala Harris have been trying to walk that back ever since then, but he in the debate was telling who he really was. So that was a pivotal moment. He also declared that he's going to put a $15 minimum wage and make the taxpayers pay for the businesses that can't afford it. That was a huge, huge point that very few taxpayers are going to like. He also said he's going to, on the first 100 days, make 11 million people citizens, forget if they're criminals, forget what their background is. He's just going to blanket issue amnesty. That's going to drive up the pressure on the border dramatically. When Reagan had amnesty for 1 million people, by the time they actually pulled the trigger, it was actually 3 million people because the extras had come in here. So there is no telling how many will actually be here when he creates the amnesty program. All in all, I thought he established a very horrible position. Trump, by contrast, made such a good point and such a good case for what he's done for the minority population, especially black citizens, that after the debate, his popularity went up to 46% among black voters. That's never happened for a Republican. Typically, it's in the 8% range. If he gets 11 to 12% of the black vote nationally, then Trump will win. If he gets 20%, he's going to win big. If he hits the 40% threshold, which that poll suggests, then it's going to be cataclysmic to the Democrat Party. Since the black voters have started moving, the Hispanic voters are also moving in big numbers now. So minority populations moving very quickly toward the president because they believe in his policies. So all in all, I thought it was a disastrous debate for Joe Biden.
Congressman, I know that you recently, as the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, recently filed some lawsuits against the county clerks in the New Mexico Supreme Court, and I've heard very disturbingly that the court would not hear those cases. What was your contention that there's really a lot of inconsistencies in the way absentee ballots are being handled across the state?
Yeah, it's not so much the inconsistencies. That's a problem. But the bigger problem is you've got several key counties that have eliminated our poll challengers out of the room when they're certifying absentee ballots. Now, that's a big problem because we've gotten in over 225 or 250,000 absentee ballots have come in. Each one of those is supposed to have a signature and the last four digits of the person's social security number. We are being permitted to watch as they open these to make sure they are following the rules. Then they kicked our challengers out of the room from these four counties. And so we filed suit. We first of all took it to the Secretary of State. She basically shrugged it off, said she wasn't going to get involved. It's her job to get involved. So we took it to the Supreme Court. They also shrugged and said, well, this is Democrats running the operation. They want to do it behind closed doors. We'll let them. So it was a bad day for New Mexico, a bad day for transparency and for just the concept of fair elections.
Steve, I want to shift gears a little bit to you serve for two terms, 2 7-year terms in the United States Congress as a representative out of the 2nd Congressional District in New Mexico. And now you're the chairman of the Republican Party. In both instances, you are serving literally millions of people. What has been different about the way your team has organized the Republican Party in New Mexico for this election?
Well, we've gotten more full-time employees knocking doors than we've ever had. So that's allowed us to put up 2 million phone calls into voters of both parties. Also, we have knocked 875,000 doors. We're knocking on 70,000 doors a week. We have a volunteer group of about 400 to 500 each day out working. So by Election Day, we're thinking that we may be 950 to a million doors knocked, 950,000 to a million doors knocked. And so that's a huge difference. But we're also in a position to not only file the lawsuits in a timely fashion, but also we can pay for those lawsuits. We've got the money in the bank to pay for it. So we've done our job raising funds to pay for all these employees, to run this ballot security program that really we've not been able to run before. But in addition to that, we recruited more candidates than we've ever had running for office. A lot of the places would be competitive, but the registration is like 80% Democrat and no Republican ever runs. So in this election cycle, there are 112 seats up for grabs. We've got candidates in 100 of them. In your typical year, in a typical election, we'd only have about 60 or 65 candidates. So we didn't quite double our candidates. We didn't get one for every single spot, but 101 out of 112 is good. And then those candidates are well trained. They know the issues. They're very good candidates. I've been basically in New Mexico politics for 20 years. These are the best candidates I've ever run across.
Yeah. And so you're feeling good about the response. I want to share one quick story with you about my own parents. My parents are in their late 80s, and they live in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. And here about 2 weeks ago, there were two young ladies. And when I say young, my parents may not know exactly how young they were, but they told me they were probably between 25 and 30 years old. These two young ladies came up to my parents and spoke with them as they were taking a walk. My mom could not tell me enough times how kind they were, how clear they were, how professional they were, and how enthusiastic they were about the Republican candidates. And she said, without question, they were extremely knowledgeable on all the various issues. She asked them about Democrat positions. She asked them about Republican positions. And I just want you to know, these volunteers that you had out in Rio Rancho did a great job.
We are hearing that from across the state. I've knocked many of the doors that I have our teams going out to. I know some of the areas are extremely difficult. I've been there myself. And so I would ask a lot of times when I know they're going into very difficult areas, what kind of response are you getting? And I would be kind of hunkered down waiting for them to kind of push back on me. And without fail, they said, oh gosh, they're very friendly. They're asking us to come in and they're wanting the literature. I said, you're knocking on these Democrat households, right? Oh yeah. Yeah. And they're just anyway. So that's the mood that I'm finding. Much like your parents, our teams are well organized. They are well informed, and they're passionate. You know, there's a truism in politics that the team that has the most fun wins. Look at all the car rallies. I was just listening on the radio, and they had a rally in New York City, in Manhattan. They said it was 1,000 cars long. We had 500 in Lee County go 80 miles from Jow to Tatum. And so that's the kind of fun stuff we're having. The South Valley of Albuquerque, not your hardly Republican zone. I think we're going to win that state representative race there, but they had 200 cars, not this last Saturday, but the one before. It just people are having fun, honking, waving their signs and flags. The other side is angry and they're dark and they're telling us how bad it's going to be. And we're representing the joy and the uplifting hope for the future. And so all of those things just tell me that people are hungry for our message.
Absolutely. I want to shift gears now and talk about crime a little bit. And I know as just an observer outside watching the news, when I heard about Donald Trump offering to send federal law enforcement individuals through Operation Legend to places like New Mexico, I immediately heard, oh, well, New Mexico doesn't want all these armed people coming to New Mexico and, you know, putting the kibosh on demonstrators and this and that. And I frankly saw a guy named Manny Gonzalez, who's a very prominent Democrat in our state, and he's the Bernalillo County Sheriff. He stepped up, went to Washington, found out about everything that was going on, embraced it, invited them into New Mexico, cooperated with the effort to stop crime. And he was heavily criticized by his own party about that. Yet, I can tell you, once Operation Legend got to New Mexico, I haven't seen a demonstration yet.
Well, not only that, but they have captured, I think, almost 200 different criminals, and usually very violent ones. Sam Vigil's wife, Jackie, he lives there in Albuquerque, and he was very prominently featured at the Republican National Convention. He's a Democrat, but his wife was murdered in their driveway as she was going to the gym to work out at like 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning. Just a tragic story. And the mayor, the governor, had done nothing to find his killer when the feds got in here. And by the way, they were called all sorts of things by the Democrats in power in New Mexico. They didn't want them here. Within a week or two, they had captured her killer. He's now incarcerated in Texas. By contrast, New Mexico released one of the accomplices in that case. And so you have the just. We've got crime on the streets because Democrats refuse to penalize the criminals. And so I'm telling people, if you want to have a different outcome in crime, you're going to have to vote for Republican judges.
Yeah. Congressman Pierce, this is way off the list of what I had given you as interview topics today, but I don't think you're going to have any problem with the question. And that is this. When you think about the lists that New Mexico is on, we're last we're tops in the nation in crime. We're at the top of the bad list. We have more cars stolen. We have more murder per capita and all of these different things. And then we're last when it comes to rankings in terms of education in all kinds of categories, third grade reading levels. We're not last, I guess, in graduation rates, but close to the bottom of the list. How much of this is attributed to politics in our state?
100%. The people who are in charge in Santa Fe are the ones who establish the laws. And so if you wonder why we're in last place in education, it's because that the Democrats have had charge of the education system for 90 years. People say, well, you had a Republican governor here, you had Governor Johnson, you had Governor Martinez. Without the legislature, you can't do anything positive. All a governor can do is veto things. And so the Democrats own it. Education is a direct function of policy. The economic environment, the fact we're outsourcing our kids, that's a direct result of the regulations on businesses. The fact that we're highest in unemployment, again, is a reflection of the bad economy. The crime, again, is because criminals are turned loose. That's a direct function that the Democrats passed legislation that said that the criminals can get out if they're not violent. And it's then the unelected judges, the judges that are basically Democrats, who are saying, okay, these criminals are not dangerous. They didn't do anything violent. They released the Victoria Martin's killers, the ones who their mom and her boyfriend who sold her into prostitution at 11 years old and then fed her methamphetamines till they killed her. And then they cut her body up, and the judge said, well, that doesn't rise to the level of violent crime. Are you kidding me? And so all of these things are a function of the political control of the state. It's been long to the Democrats in the state legislature for 90 years. That was the last time Republicans had a majority in the House and the Senate.
Well, and you mentioned the 100 candidates that the Republican Party has identified that are running for various state offices. And I know that they've been working hard and you're running on fumes, but that adrenaline's keeping you going. Congressman, we're going to take a quick break, say thank you to our sponsors. But when we come back, we're going to talk about your U.S. congressional candidates from the state and their debates, recent debates in the last couple of weeks, and how you think they fared. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's a daily occurrence now to see someone who's homeless. It's these you see along with hundreds of others who find assistance through this month's featured Mission New Mexico ministry. Since 1982, The Rock at Noonday has operated a day shelter for the homeless. Currently serving over 100,000 meals annually, The Rock at Noonday has expanded its outreach to assist the homeless with clothing, hygiene, school supplies, legal aid, health care, veteran support, and more. This month, you can show your support financially, prayerfully, or through words of support, volunteering, and donated items. Current needs include lightly used or new men's pants, sizes 32 through 36, tennis shoes for men and women, new underwear and socks, and travel size hygiene items. Your assistance means Christ's love can be shared with a neighbor in need today. Click on Mission NM at knkt.com or star88.fm.
Whether at home or in the workplace, we are all leaders. Become a better leader in this leadership moment with Craig Groeschel.
What do you do when you realize you need to change directions and you've made really bold promises? How do you make a change? Let me give you two very plain suggestions. Number one, you want to create a culture that embraces change. What you want people to understand is what we say. We're going to speak boldly because that's who we are. We're bold leaders. But this is true to what we know and where we are now. Number two, talk openly about what promise you need to unmake and clearly explain why. The why empowers people to believe in the what. The people around you, when you recognize something needs to change and you lead toward it, a lot of times they're gonna say, "What took you so long?" And they recognize often before we do, things really do need to change. Sometimes it's right to be wrong.
That was Craig Groeschel on a KNKT Leadership Moment. Hear more at life.church/leadership podcast.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Chairman of the New Mexico Republican Party, Steve Pierce, on the phone with us this afternoon. Steve, again, thanks so much. I know that you're probably running from one radio show to another and one presentation to another, so thanks.
Absolutely. Always glad to talk to you, Jim.
I want to ask you a little bit about your congressional candidates, Michelle Garcia Holmes. She is the New Mexico's District 1 congressional candidate. Yvette Harrell, she's District 2. Alexis Johnson in District 3. And then Mark Ronchetti, running for United States Senator. All of these candidates have had debates in the last couple weeks. How do you summarize what they've done?
Mark Ronchetti absolutely destroyed Ben Ray Lujan in the debate. Ben Ray got off on his heels really quickly in the debate. He's never had a serious candidate before. He doesn't know how to respond to it. He was mostly full of platitudes. Ronchetti had very factual positions that he was on, and then he kept asking Ben Ray, "What have you done in your 12 years in Congress?" Ben Ray really had no answer what he had done because he's mostly been about politics and raising money for the Democrat Party. He's forgotten his state. So I think that race is going to be very competitive. In the second district, Yvette Harrell has been running neck and neck with her opponent all the way through. Just recently in the last, I'd say, 3 to 4 weeks, she began to open up a 4 or 5 point gap. That race is looking very steady for a Republican pickup there. Michelle Garcia Holmes, again, very, very adequately pointed out the weaknesses of Deb Haaland in her service. Deb was one of the more extreme members in Congress, early on siding with AOC and many of the more radical members. So I think that Michelle Garcia Holmes has a tremendous opportunity. Her background in crime, her background in police, law enforcement, in dealing with criminals and how to get rid of them, I think is going to sell well to the voters in Albuquerque. Alexis Johnson up north is doing a fantastic job, did a sterling job in her debate. She is an environmental engineer in the oil and gas business. What stronger credentials could you get than the most critical industry in New Mexico, but then trying to figure out how to produce oil and gas in the most environmentally friendly method ever? And so I think all of our candidates are well positioned going in this last week.
Just to let you know, I had Allie Enninga. She is a state representative, House Representative District 15 candidate. She was on the show primarily talking about education and pro-life issues. And then I had Michelle Garcia Holmes, and Michelle is going to be joining me again tomorrow. And when I talk about right to life issues and things like that, Congressman, I've tried to talk to my Democrat friends that I know are people of faith. I know that they are pro-life, not pro-choice, but none of them feel, I guess, comfortable stating that fact in front of their party, and I wonder why.
Well, as Democrats, they get severely chastised if they ever bring up the life issue. So the pro-life Democrats just have to learn how to be quiet. I watched in Congress as they drummed out many of the pro-life Democrats that were serving in Congress when I first started. They're all gone now. Likewise, in the New Mexico legislature, the last pro-life Democrat senators were beaten in the primary by the progressives just this last June. And so you have to be very careful if you're going to be pro-life in the Democrat Party. You have to accept the fact that your views are going to be ignored. And that's a shame, because New Mexico, no matter if you're pro-choice or pro-life, everybody in New Mexico, I'd say about 75% to 80% of the voters, Democrat, Republican, Independents alike, hate late-term abortion, and yet New Mexico has become the late-term abortion capital of the country. And so that's going to be a big issue in these state representative and state Senate seats. I believe that we're going to capture the state Senate on that one issue alone, because people were not aware that we do abortions up to and including the date of birth. They're not aware that Keisha Adkins, a young black girl, died at the hands of an abortionist. He had made her sign something saying that if she had medical problems after the abortion, she was not to go to the emergency room. She was not to call 911. She was to come back to the clinic. They really just fed her full of drugs that were going to cause her to have trouble breathing. She eventually died there. They were supposed to be monitoring all the time. Instead, they would give her the drugs and send her to a hotel room nearby. And we had a press conference about 2 weeks ago where we brought that up. The conservative black leaders of New Mexico stood up and said, we want Planned Parenthood to quit targeting the black community, quit targeting the Hispanic community. So we had that press conference with them taking the lead. It was a pivotal moment in New Mexico, because a lot of minority voters have been Democrats, but they also have been pro-life, and they're dealing with the issue that you're talking about and changing their mind and becoming Republicans.
You know, Steve Pierce is a guy that I've gotten to know a little bit over the last year. You've been a frequent contributor to this program. I've seen you working. I've heard you talk about your personal experience. You've shared a lot of fun and funny stories about working in Congress and talking and having friendships on both sides of the aisle. Do you still have a lot of those friendships, and does it make you wonder about why today people are not talking to each other?
Well, I realized that when I was there that not many people were talking to each other. There's two things that are going on. Number one, we are gerrymandering the districts to where they're either 80% Democrat or 80% Republican. I think that's a mistake from both sides. I know that candidates like to have easy districts, but frankly, we should be debating these critical issues back and forth. So the second district of New Mexico is one of the few. There's probably 25 swing districts in the country. It's one of the few swing districts, and you see a lot of money coming from around the country going into Albuquerque TV talking about both candidates. Well, that's because that district will swing back and forth pretty readily. So I think the key for us is, number one, quit gerrymandering the nation to where we have to discuss with each other, to where we have to have these debates, where we have to talk to people on the other side of the aisle. Secondly, is that we as people have really closed down, and we don't want to get engaged in political or religious discussions. And I'm saying, wait, the nation depends on both, so you better be talking about both, not avoiding them.
I say a big amen to that. We're on the phone this afternoon with Chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Congressman Steve Pierce. Steve, I want to ask you a little bit about where we go from here. Let's say that you have a spectacular day. The announcement is made that the state has turned red. The majority of your candidates are elected. What is the responsibility that anyone elected, blue or red, needs to understand about God putting them in that position if they get elected?
Yeah, I, number one, tell them to remember their constituents. And so I would start serving the day after the election and serve very publicly. I tell other candidates that if you'll do that, you never really have to campaign. Just serve very publicly. And so a lot of our people that are running for office are already serving. They're finding ways to clean up trash in a neighborhood where they're campaigning. I've got one of our candidates. She has started a small library in one of the forgotten neighborhoods. So just different ways to serve your constituents. But number two, to realize that we are there to be a voice, that we are ordained by God to be in these positions, and we must honor the truth. That's the key. We've got to be merciful, but we have to honor the truth. We have to take care of the widows and the orphans. Those basic policies that were laid out in the Old Testament of the Bible are still very applicable today. And so just take care of the responsibilities. I tell people that many times the church has abdicated their role, and so the government has to step into the void. When the church doesn't take care of the widows and the orphans, then the state steps in. The state is not a very good mechanism to take care of these cultural issues. And so I always tell people that remember your faith. You don't have to run on your faith, but you don't want to run away from it. And then serve with your principles that you've learned in your life of faith. Those are very key as we represent the constituents, as we give voice to those in those debates on the floor of the House or the Senate. Those are key things to remember.
I got to ask you about your wife. How's your wife holding up through all of this?
Well, she's doing great. She's absolutely looking forward to some sort of a break after the election. We're just talking at breakfast this morning, and she said, I am so ready to go somewhere. She said, you got right out of office December 2 years ago, got right into this job, and she said, we really never took a break. He said, we're going to go somewhere in the middle part of November. So we've already had that discussion, but she's a treasure. I will tell you that it takes both people in a marriage. If you're going to get into politics, frankly, if you're going to get into anything, both people ought to be pretty much in lockstep and in agreement that that's where you ought to be and what you ought to be doing. But she's been a true companion throughout a life full of challenges.
And it sounds like she's not opposed to jumping on an airplane with you, a little airplane that you're flying.
No, she actually just walked in and asked how far is it to Florida. So about 5 minutes before we started, I said it'd be about a six-hour flight for us. So coming back, we're flying to the wind, so seven and a half hours coming back. But she's trying to find sunshine somewhere with a little bit of water around it.
Congressman, will you share with us one more quip from your book, Just Fly the Plane, Stupid?
Yeah, so I'll tell you what, we get into one of the more controversial things that I wrote in there. She asked me at one point, after we were just pretty newly married, I was 34 when I got married, so I was kind of farther around the track than most newlyweds, but she said, well, what about all of this submission stuff? And I just cringed. I thought, oh no, you know, and so I write about that in the book, and so we studied at it. We realized that in my view, that the submission was really a requirement for the man to step up. And I write in there that Dad never felt comfortable in the role of stepping up and being the leader of the family. And I saw a lot of anger when Mom had to deal with everything. So the wife, the mom, will always deal with a lot of the problems, and women do shoulder much of the burdens. But that doesn't give the man the right to kind of just sit back and let it roll. And so that idea that there are definite responsibilities on both parts as you move forward in a relationship played out extremely quickly. So that discussion went on. And within a couple of weeks, we were in trying to buy our business that became very successful. At one point, the other team, the ones that were selling the business, started changing things. I mean, we were sitting there with lawyers and bankers and all the papers around the table, the way they showed the films, signing one and moving to the next position. They started changing it, and I got up and walked out. And Cynthia walked over and said, you know, she walked into one of the offices there, and we went in to sit down and pray about it. And she said, you know, I'll take your lead on this. But she said, we've gone a long way. She said, why don't you go back in and offer to finish the thing on the original terms? And she said, but either way, she said, I'm going to take your lead on this deal because you are the one responsible here. So we went back in, we signed the paperwork, there were no changes, and we were blessed beyond belief in a material way, but we were blessed far beyond that we'd never had the strife that a lot of families have over these issues of money and decisions.
Thank you, Steve Pierce. We appreciate you, and we'll be praying for you.
Every day. Thank you, my friend. Jim, keep up the great work, and to all your listeners, be safe, and remember where we get our power.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.